This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
A lawsuit against Countrywide.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott J. Gow. Mortgage lender Countrywide is being sued by its own employees. They say they were kept in the dark about the mortgage lender's problems and that their 401k accounts have gotten hammered through all this. The suit claims the retirement plan has lost hundreds of millions of dollars. Last week, Countrywide announced plans to lay off 12,000 workers. The subprime mess is spawning some wacky tales, and here's one of them. A big credit counseling service says many clients who aren't paying their mortgages, which could cost them their homes, are still paying their credit card bills. More now from Steve Tripoli.
Elizabeth Schomburg at Family Credit Counseling Service says her counselors see that decision all the time.
And this certainly goes beyond conventional wisdom, which is always said to pay your rent or mortgage first and then take care of your debt.
But conventional wisdom is meeting unconventional mortgages here. Schomburg says many of these folks have little or no down payment money in their homes, so there's little to lose as home prices fall.
If their house is depreciating in value, or if they simply can't afford it, it may be better just to walk away or lose the house if you can't refinance or find other options.
She says many also want to keep their credit lines open as economic uncertainty deepens. Schomburg says there's no set advice for people who make this choice, but she says it wouldn't hurt for these folks to at least talk to their mortgage servicer or a housing counselor. They might be able to work out a cheaper loan that could change their minds about walking away from their home. I'm Steve Tripoli for Marketplace.
This week, Brazil said it'll ask the World Trade Organization to investigate U.S. farm subsidies on ethanol. Brazil is the second largest ethanol producer behind the U.S., and of course, it doesn't want to be disadvantaged. Ethanol has become one hot commodity, after all. Dan Gretsch has more from our America's desk at WLRN.
Brazil wants access to America's fast-growing market for alternative fuels. But high import tariffs and subsidies for U.S. producers have largely kept foreign ethanol out. David Adams writes the blog The Fueling Station.
There's something of a false debate here. Even if the United States were to drop its tariff, Brazil actually doesn't have that much ethanol to provide the United States.
Brazil already struggles to keep up with domestic demand. But Adams says the country has its sights set on a green future.
If those tariffs were removed, this would provide a huge stimulation for greater investment in the ethanol industry in Brazil.
More than $15 billion is now being invested in new ethanol mills in Brazil, but the country bets investment could be much higher. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
Most people would have no problem giving up pasta for one day, unless they live in Italy. The average Italian eats 62 pounds of pasta a year. So a pasta strike is a big deal. Today is that day. Consumer groups want people to skip the fettuccine to protest the soaring price of pasta. Furio Braganola owns one of Italy's biggest pasta companies, Pasta Zara. I just talked to him a few minutes ago. He says there isn't much of a strike.
I think that the people buy pasta like yesterday, like tomorrow. I don't think that the people don't buy pasta in Italy. Also because it's not possible to find some other food that is cheaper than pasta.
So the strike, it sounds like you said people are still buying pasta. It sounds like this is more symbolic than anything. Is that right?
Yes, exactly. You know, the people in Italy, the people buy pasta. We are the pasta-eating country.
The reason pasta has become so expensive, the price of wheat is at an all-time high.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Introducing ThriveQ, an online tool that helps you know where you stand on your path to retirement. morethriveq.com, and by the American Public Transportation Association, representing America's public transportation industry, delivering 10 billion riders annually and working for an energy-independent America. publictransportation.org. Science and technology reports are supported by Boston Scientific, committed to delivering what's next in medical technology to help clinicians improve and extend lives. BostonScientific.com.
It's that time of year on campus. Students are going to football games and fraternity parties. They've probably attended one statistics class and decided to drop it. And they're not too sure about their dorm roommate yet. But not every college is brimming with life. Some rural colleges are really struggling to stay open. Ethan Lindsay reports from Oregon Public Broadcasting.
About 3,000 students attend Eastern Oregon University in La Grande. Its small, grassy quad in the middle of campus can seem to be the only patch of green in this dusty farm state. Despite its beauty, the number of freshman applications has dropped by almost half in just 2 years. First and foremost, it's a problem of mobility. High school graduates don't stick around like they used to, says University President Dixie Lund.
Sometimes the younger students, they need to see what the rest of Oregon or the rest of the world is like.
George Pernsteiner is the chancellor of the Oregon University system. He says as grads leave rural areas, they marry and raise a new generation of students elsewhere.
You're beginning to see a lower number of college-age students because the high school graduating classes in those parts of the states are going down.
He says one way to combat the problem is to make college more affordable so that enrollments stay up. Pernsteiner also oversees Western Oregon University. Applications there rose dramatically when the university promised not to jack up freshman tuition for 4 straight years. Another way to increase enrollment is to broaden the student base. President Dixie Lund at Eastern Oregon says half their students study over the internet.
Once in a while on graduation day, a graduate from pick a state will come to La Grande, and it may be the first time that they have been able to set foot on the La Grande campus. Everything else has been done by phone and by email.
Lund says a personal touch in recruiting is also critical. She says her first real act as president was to send a letter to all Oregon students who didn't get into more desirable universities. She says there's no cure-all for problems at rural colleges, but by cobbling together different solutions, schools like hers can survive. In La Grande, I'm Ethan Lindsay for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for tuning in, and enjoy your day.
American Public Media. The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.